The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but that I have come to bring, no, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Send your spirit to rest upon us, to fill our hearts and our minds with your knowledge, with your love, with your compassion, with your hope. Amen. Please be seated. I have been gone so long that I forgot what goes on Sunday morning here. I got out here, realized I didn't have a mic on. I ran back to get my mic. I left my stole. My alb got all messed up. So hopefully I'll get straightened up in the next few minutes. If I was a little younger, I'd be embarrassed. Yeah, I'm kind of past that stage. All right, like I said, I've been gone a long time. For those of you who don't know, I've just come back from a four-month sabbatical and vacation, or about three and a half. And I come back to what I think is probably the hardest gospel in the whole darn book. This whole idea of division is so contrary to what we think of when we think of Jesus. I mean, we think of Jesus as the one who unifies, the one who brings us together under love and compassion and hope and peace. And the Jesus we get to get today in the gospel is kind of contrary to that. But I will tell you, I'm pretty sure there's not a single person in this space today who doesn't agree that division is a very real thing in the world. Always has been, and right now particularly bad, I believe. We are working under a current administration. I've been gone 4 months. I'm going to get political. So we're working under a current administration that uses division as a weapon, uses division as a tool to aggrandize oneself and to build power. No matter how much I've ever disagreed with the president, not this current one, but any president, and there's been plenty I've disagreed with, I've never heard one refer to people who disagree with him as the enemy and talking about people who have been duly elected within our country. So division is very, very real, and it's something that we can do one of a couple of things with. We can either ignore it and kind of hide from it and just say, you know, it doesn't affect me. Because I'll be honest with you, with the current politics in the United States, I personally, as a straight white guy, am not suffering. I'm just not. I mean, my heart aches. But it aches for others. I mean, my taxes were a little screwy this year, but maybe we'll figure that out. But yeah, not really a joke. But division is so real, we can either ignore it or we can confront it. You know, if politics in many ways is like religion, you can make it a private matter and close your eyes to what's going on in the world around you, or you can be a public participant. And that is really the idea between both religion and politics, is they are public practices. They are not private endeavors. Most of you have heard me say, religion is not a spectator sport. It's something that you are called to participate in, even if it's to participate with people who you may not agree with, but to be informed by that disagreement, to be informed and maybe made bigger by the difference. And politics is kind of the same way. It's not a spectator sport. It's just not. Division is a very real thing in this world. And so Jesus has told us, basically, you got to pick a side. I mean, that's what we're talking about today. That's what a lot of the gospel is about. You have to pick a side. If you take the Son of the Living God seriously, then you've got to decide, are you going to be on the side of light or are you going to be on the side of darkness? Are you going to be on the side of good or are you going to be on the side of evil? Now, some of you are probably thinking right now, oh, he just called his political disagreement, people he disagrees with politically, evil. No, I didn't. But I will tell you, evil is being done. There is a lot of evil taking place in your name. And if that doesn't make your heart hurt, well, you can finish that sentence. So what has Jesus told us? What do we know about who we are called to be as Christians? Now, I believe that all people of faith are called into this conversation, but right now, I'm talking to people about Jesus, okay? So what has Jesus called us to do? Who has Jesus called us to be? So if division is so real and so manipulative, then maybe who we're called to be is people who are unifiers. People who look to reach to the other side of a conversation to understand. And some things are not understandable, okay? I am not of the school that says every opinion's a good opinion. All right? You know, it's that old expression, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Well, that's a stupid answer. I mean, come on. But, you know, my dad said to me once, he said, how can you always be right? I said, well, why would I intentionally be wrong? I mean, that's a joke, but I hope that's how we approach our lives, isn't it? To intentionally do things for the right reasons, to intentionally do them for good, not to intentionally do things for evil. So we as Christians, we as followers of the light of God, are called to set an example by how we live our lives, by how we treat other people. I mean, the number one thing that I believe that I know, and I will not speak for God, I am not that arrogant, but what I think I know is that all of creation is beloved of God. So whenever we treat anybody else as other, as different, as separate, as less, we are intentionally going against the will of God. Think about that for a minute. Now, somebody can be different from you. Somebody can disagree with you. But that doesn't make them less. That doesn't make them other. It just makes them different. But we are called, as followers of Jesus, to look into the hearts and the minds and the eyes of all of God's children and see the beloved. Now, I would suggest that that is, one, not happening in a lot of places in the world on a on a macro level. But on a micro level, it is happening. If anybody doesn't remember those words, go find your economics book and from high school and you'll learn. But on a micro level, that's where we live. That's where we exist. And I'm not going to regale you with stories of our mission trip today because I'm going to save that for later. But I was thinking about this, and what does it look like when we truly believe that just because someone is different, they're not other? So Charlotte and Priscilla and myself and Jonathan and Kate Jackson-Lewis took a group of high school kids and one college kid to Ecuador this summer. And our days were filled with lots of things, but primarily what we were doing was we were getting on a bus and we were going up. And I mean up. At one point we hit, I think 13.4 was the highest elevation we hit. So we're going up and we're going into these little, what they call communities, what we would call villages. And in fact, one day the bus couldn't even get there, so we had to all load everything. We had tons of stuff because of what we were doing and everybody we were with into pickup trucks and then go up this dirt road into this community. And in this community, a group of college interns, some professional medical folk, and our youth helped with some chiropractic. That was predominantly done by the professionals. Dentistry, yes, predominantly done by the professionals, but the kids participated. But eyeglasses, fitting folks for readers. And then playing with the children that were either with these folks who were there to get medical care or that were coming for medical care themselves. A lot of kids got dentistry done while we were there. And a lot of kids, when we showed up with a soccer ball, just kind of came. They just came out of the woodwork. It was awesome. And in the end, in what turned out to be 4 days of clinic, we were supposed to have five, but one didn't work out. In 4 days of clinic, we saw over 600 people. 600 people. Think about that for a minute. And they were provided with, predominantly more than anything else, glasses so they could read. If you live in a culture, in a society where farming and crafting is really basically the only sources of income, loss of your eyesight means loss of your livelihood. Loss of your livelihood means loss of your ability to take care of yourself and your very extended families. So your kids spent a little over a week in a very foreign place with people who look very different than us. I was tall there. People who wore clothes different than us, people who ate different food than us, people who spoke languages that most of us have never heard. Quechua is the predominant language. And yet we were there, and they invited us in and participated with us. 600 lives were changed. And I would suggest that more than 9 folks from West Hartford had their lives changed and affected as well. That's what it looks like to follow the Son of God into the world. To, no matter how different someone may be, to understand that they are worthy of your love, your compassion, your hard work, your attention, your care. We could easily have gotten up there and said, I don't know, these people are way too brown. Or these people are way too whatever. And not dived in as much as we did. We could have showed up and they could have said, whew, they're Americans. Right now, that's a scary moniker. We don't really want anything to do with these people. But they didn't. They invited us in. They showed us unbelievable hospitality. And that little world and that little place for that little piece of time was better. That's what it can be like. And it doesn't have to be on top of a mountain in Ecuador. It can be on the corner of LaSalle and Farmington Avenue. It can be in a classroom when school starts up again. It can be at your dinner table. It can be walking down the hall of the place where you live. It just simply requires us to understand that God loves each and every one of us with an equal amount of passion, and to live our lives in that knowledge. Amen.